folks, come on up, those that I've asked to help. Good morning. We're going to talk this morning about life groups, some of the direction of life groups. I'm going to be challenging this morning about life groups. I'm going to step down. I got a lot of people. That's good. Very special friends. I've been in life groups with all these folks and have asked them to share a little bit about life groups. I'm going to start with Joe and Lisa. And guys, when you talk, I've been told you're supposed to hold the mic just like that. Joe makes the best catfish, I'm just telling you right now. The world's best catfish and chili and all the other things that he brings. So he's permanently in my life group. It's a pleasure to get to know you all as friends. And that's what about in our life group. What you all started in life group the last few months. What has changed or happened to you as a result of the life group?
Well, as a cook, some people think I'm a mechanic, but coming to church is the main force, but the life is the dessert. It's a very sweet time. Lisa and I come in from Oakley. It's about an hour drive to the home. And during that time, we go over the lesson. And it's a very sweet time for us. It's brought us closer together. And Doug and Candy are just wonderful hosts. We had a great time there. I was a little surprised at the $20 cover charge, but and you aren't supposed to bring that up. Anybody that gets invited to the group, I'll just tell you right now, do not show up without cookies. But no, it's an absolutely wonderful time. We're learning in the Lord. What can you do?
Lisa, how about you?
Stole what I was going to say. in fact, brought us closer together. It's a wonderful time where we get to just discuss the questions and go over it and bounce things off of each other, which it has been a remarkable thing. And getting to know people more intimately. It's a large congregation. There's a lot of people to see, and that's just one service. Being able to interact and make friends and get to know people and their adorable children in life groups, it's really neat to know that you have people that you are truly connected with, people that you truly know and can talk to. It's a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much. Denise, I'm going to ask a similar question. I've gotten to know you all as very dear and special friends. I've been in life group with you all as well. There have been times when more than you know this, that you have actually ministered and built my faith and the sharing that you have done. I've never thanked you for that. But you have truly, truly ministered to me. I don't like Frank. Did I say that out loud? I have that problem. Ever since Frank squashed me in the back here, I've been avoiding him. How has life helped you or changed you, helped you through just to take on life, so to speak? How has it helped you?
Wow, he's already warned us not to talk too long. I don't think there's enough time to talk about what life group has done for us in our lives and for me. I am who I am today because of this church and because of the life groups we've been in. I thought a lot this morning about what to say. Usually when you talk about life groups, you talk about family. It is a second family. And I thought about it last night and yesterday that, family is you're made up of the flesh and blood of your parents and their parents and so on and so on. The family that we have in life group is made up of the blood of Jesus Christ we're all the body of Christ that attend that life group. And through that, it gives us strength. We have the power of prayer, you know, with all the life-changing things, as Candy referenced earlier, what Pastor Paul has talked about earlier. You know, you hope and pray, you can touch and reach out every day to those that need it. That's how we do it in life group. Frank and I both lost our parents, our family, back to back within the last couple of years. And so without my life group, I don't know where I would have been, to be honest with you. I went through several tragedies with that, you know, seeing life leave and hopefully go up to heaven with Christ. And that was hard. But we made it, and it's because of our life group that we did. I learned the word. That's another thing. Life group is learning. I'm not one that can open the Bible and read it and understand it. I've learned it by life group because, as Matt and Amy will tell you, I have to kind of like talk it out and act it out. And then once I do that, now I got it. So, and it's exciting. So that's what it's meant for me. And thanks to all of you for being a part of this church.
I have loved the times that I've been with you, that you have shared, and I've walked away from there today. Frank, you are helping teach. You're vitally involved in life groups. What have you seen take place as a result of life groups, whether in your life, your family, or even the life of the group that you're in?
You've got about 90 seconds. Change is constant. And in the Lord, you grow each and more than every day that you're with Him. So as each life group I've been in, we've been in life, 12 years, Bill? 12 years we've been in this church. So I've watched the change in everybody who comes. Time to act with, I want to change my heart. God has changed, as well as God's love.
I've gotten to know Greg. I'm a little intimidated to stand by him because when he says he's still taller than me, he can sit down. Greg, you're what, 12 foot 7? I'm 3 foot 6 or something, but I know. I've gotten to know Greg and been so blessed by the struggles that you and your family have gone through and the victories of that struggle. I've been impacted. I told you more than 5 times at least that how you have impacted. And I've asked Greg to share some things that are on his mind.
So, I've been coming with my wife and family, my wife Liz, to raise for a couple years now. I was a comfortable Christian. Not really doing much with God or expecting much from church. It was really my wife Liz that was the motivating force that brought us to the grace community. She wasn't content with the status quo. She wanted more. So, you know, she wanted to be involved with life groups, so we came to grace. And we went to life groups. Mostly I did it to please my wife. We joined Vince and Vonda Denny's life group. It was a really great group of people, you know, smart, funny, and caring, and godly people. And I got more interested in going. I was still pretty complacent with my life. You know, things were going pretty good. We prayed for other people in our life. There were some people going through some really tough times. And we prayed for them, but things were good for us. We didn't really have much. We thought, but you know, at my work, I think we're already starting to go downhill. There was a lot of politics starting going on, and managers, you know, calling more meetings and less work getting done, and less work to do. And
last summer, after working at one job for 15 years, I was laid off. Those were some dark times for me and our family. And suddenly our life group became a lifeline. And as those months of unemployment dragged on for me, those prayers and those people alongside us became the shining light of God's hope for me. You know, when times got tough, our life group was there for us in every way, and not just in spiritual ways. I got help with my resume and the job search process. And after 7 long months, I finally got a really great new job. Thanks to the prayers and the help of those people in our life who came alongside us. So, you know, the story's not all about that. You know, we say it every week. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. It may not be why you think you're here, but God has a reason for you to be here. But you know, what they don't tell us every week is what exactly is that design. Of course, they can't know what God's doing in each and every one of your lives here. But let me pull back the curtain a little bit for you to see the big thing that God's definitely doing. Before Jesus went to die on the cross, he prayed for his disciples and all of us to come after him. This was a really tough time for him, right before all hell broke loose for him. And he knew what was coming. So he prayed what was really important to him. And what did he ask for? In John 17:20, Jesus says, "I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, for all of them, that they may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." Did you catch that? That's a pretty shocking statement. Jesus said his goal for all of us is that we would be one with one another the way he is one with his Father. What? Last time I checked, that's pretty close. But that's what he wanted for us. I'm not really a people person. Maybe some of you aren't people. But God didn't make you by mistake. He made you by design. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that God is making his people into a body of Christ. And God is carefully placing each one of us into a part of that body right where he wants us. Now, this goes against our American individualism. We want everything personalized. It's not all about you, and it's not all about me. He's a very personal God. But he's not about setting up isolated, individual relationships with him. He wants us to personally know him intimately, and then to know and love each other in that same way. He doesn't just want us to rejoice when others rejoice. He tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. So maybe you're here today because there's a longing in you for more of God. You're seeking him. So where should you look? You want to know where he is? In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "Where two or three of you gather together in my name, I'm right there. Midst of you." That's life. And Jesus attends it every week. Amen. If you want more of God, he's telling you where he is, where to look for him. That's where he goes. And I can tell you firsthand, he is there. Well, I don't think I need to say a thing more. I think that did up there. What a moving testimony. Wasn't that not? What a moving testimony. A heartfelt. The fences are down. How has life been helped? What change has taken place in the lives of people? For sake of time, I'm going to hurry through some things. In the book of Nehemiah, chapters 8 and 9, no less than 6 to 8 times, the story is unfolded where the Israelites who have just rebuilt the wall, you know the story, we just went through Nehemiah not long ago. The Israelites have rebuilt the wall, they've suffered, they're understaffed, underpaid, outgunned, outmanned, so to speak, enemy around. They had to build the wall with the shovel in one hand and the spear in the other. Their rest was minimal, underfed, horrible conditions, and yet they banded together and accomplished, quite frankly, almost an impossible task. After that task was done, the next task took place in chapters 8 and 9, where they as a people gathered together to hear the word of God being read aloud. Now, they didn't have Bibles and iPads and iPods and cell phones and computers. They had to listen. They stood, the Bible says, for up to a fourth of the day, where they stood and attentively listened the message that was being preached to them. The interpretation of it was given. The meaning of it was given. And the Bible says in these verses that the people were convicted with their interaction of the Word of God. And as Pastor Bill said in the first service, but the instructions weren't to stay that way. The instructions were to rejoice because of the Word of God. And because that God had restored them. Verse 9 in chapter 8 says that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The context here is that for day after day, week after week, the people met almost as if this congregation today. It's almost as if, I thought about having everybody do it, but I won't. Where we would stand up and lock arms, lock hands, and listen. And be able to face the onslaught of that life that happens. That's what these people did for day after day, for day after day. It was hot. It wasn't comfortable. There was no air conditioning. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't at the right time. They had other things to do. They had to work. I'm going through all the things I can think of. They met and listened and interacted with the Word of God. So in this scripture, the emphasis was on the Word. There was an emphasis. You know what? When you emphasize something, it's something that usually you do first, right? It's something that has a priority. They met as one mind. Greg alluded to that. Greg, thank you. Thank you. They have met as one man, it says, one mind, of one determination to interact with God's Word. It wasn't easy and it wasn't optional. Boy, these are tough words to say, aren't they? It wasn't easy and it wasn't an option for these people to call in and not attend. They wanted to attend. They were determined to attend. Nothing was more important. Emphasis and determination. Something wonderful happened to these people. In their interaction with God's Word, what normally happens, by the way? Who changes? We do, right? These people had a revival, and I said the first service of an old-time Southern person. So they had old-time foot-stomping revival in their camp. Wrongs were righted, debts were forgiven, friends were reacquainted, things happened because they were changed, not because the wall went up, but because the wall went down between their heart and God. That was pretty good, wasn't it? You might want to write that down. I just came to it. Wow. I didn't have that in the first service. But when that barrier was shattered through their interaction with the Word and the spiritual wall, so to speak, was erected, things happened. Bonds were strengthened socially, economically, everything changed. It was amazing. But it happened because their emphasis and their determination was to hear what hath God said and respond. That brings me to life groups. I had to swerve it in there somewhere. In life groups, we do have a systematic study of God's Word. These people in the book of Nehemiah, day after day, systematically, hour after hour, listened and responded to God's Word. That's what happens in life group. That's why you just heard testimonies of that. A systematic, logical, day in, day out approach to God's Word. But there's other things that happen. And I get so excited on this. I get so excited. Because in life groups, beside the fact that we're studying God's Word, and that should like just be enough right there, right? I mean, what else do I have to say beyond that? Other things happen in groups, do they not? Bonding occurs. Have you all been, have you seen that? It's like a family relationship happens where y'all are out there nodding. You know what I mean? Where it's like all these walls and barriers and individualism, Greg, that we strive for are shattered and we become a like mind. But it starts with the Word of God that is shared by fellow believers. Other things happen. Burdens are shared. Somebody say amen. When the Bible says that we're to share each other's burden, I don't think in the original language, you have to help me here. I don't think it says once. Bear one another's burden till 5, or till 7 o'clock, or till Tuesday, or till 7 times. That's it. You know, bear one another's burden. I tell you, in life groups, you see the walls, and Denise testified to that. You see the walls crumble and burdens are shared. And there's something, isn't there? There's something about when you leave the life groups and you leave church, but you feel like it's not so heavy because Frank's helping me carry my burden and Denise is helping Candy share her burden. And Matt and Amy are leaning on someone else to share the burdens, and it's not so heavy that I crumble because I've got a group of believers that are divvying up the workload. I've seen this happen. And finally, I'm going to tell you what, and if I don't get an amen, I'm going till 11:50. So be ready. In life group, victories are won.
Amen.
For some. Guys, in life groups, victories are shared. And when you share, Joan, your victory, I feel victorious. I feel like, seeing you've gone through something, I feel like I can walk through it. Your victories encourage me. That's life. It starts with interaction with the Word of God and something else happens. It's hard to explain, but it's wonderful. It takes determination and sacrifice. It takes effort. It's not a replacement for church. It's not meant to be. But great things happen in life groups. Great things happen. I challenge you to rededicate yourself to that. Pastor Bill, why don't you come on up? Let's talk about the next study. The next study is going to start on the 19th. And why don't you talk about it? Even though I was going to do it.
No, let me just tell you, are we live here on 6? This is the fundamentals of faith. And every life that we have, obviously, from as we look at the life throughout the year, some of you may say, well, why are we doing this study? Why are we doing that study? It's thought through. We look through it. Doug looks through it. We go through many, many studies. Doug does, brings it back to us. And we look at it, Pastor Ben and myself, and just say, hey, this is great. This study is a great study, but it is a study. It is not one. You're doing the parables now. God's Word, as He teaches through parables, His own words. That was His style of teaching. This is a fundamentals of the faith. Let me read some of the chapter titles for you. This is one of those studies that is going to take that determination, that commitment. It's not one that you're just going to be able to put together and say, okay, it's 5 minutes before class, we're going to go through this. But here's some of this about how to know the Bible, God, His character, His attributes, the person of Jesus Christ, the work of Christ, salvation, the Holy Spirit, prayer, believers, church, fellowship, spiritual gifts. And it is a study. It's not just this easy to read right before. Now, some of you will be risen and you'll challenge that and re-raise the bar and you'll just, this is great. It's the kind of thing that every day we can look at and we can work through it. Also, we failed to mention, but I'm going to mention it, is that some of you just have a hard time getting the life groups due to your schedule of work or whatever. Some work nights. So we are going to start on May 19th. We are also starting this book as a class in the first service. So if you're in the service for worship, you can come in the 9 o'clock hour in the back, and you can take this book. Will be a small group study as we go through the 9 o'clock hour. However, there's limited space, and there's a sign-up out before you can sign up for that. But let me just tell you, this is one of the books. Now, some people use an excuse. We talk about excuses. That, well, I didn't get my study done tonight, so I'm not going to go. Well, somehow that's backwards to me. Like, that's a good reason not to do your study for some of you. I didn't get my study done, I guess I better not go. This is the kind of study, whether you get it done or not, you need to go because you're going to learn. This one is a teaching study. This is one the leaders are going to have to work through. They're going to say, this is what we're doing. But this is a great foundational to the essentials of your faith, to understand. And so I want to encourage you just to really jump in and be a part of it. Be faithful to it. Be faithful. Here's the issue for me as the pastor. I mean, you hear people who are involved in it and who are faithful to it, and it changes their lives. Your life won't be changed if you're not faithful to it. If you're not there, you cannot be a part of that family. It just doesn't happen. So you've got to be there. So be faithful to it. Make a commitment. We do that which is important for us. And if it's not important for us, we won't do it. Make it important. Make it time to say, I'm going to be there whether I have the study or not. So we have some on every level who are saying, oh, this is great. This is deep. This is what I want. We're going to be there. And others are going to start choking and saying, oh, I can't do all this. You need to be there anyway. Okay, you just need to learn and to grow and to go. Is that what you want?
Okay.
Good.
Well, folks, let's pray in closing. Father.